Go with me to Romans chapter 2. I'm just going to touch on this. I'm going to just touch on this verse because we talked about a lot about it last week. But I just want to remind you what it says. And then we're going to move into some other things. I told you last week that we would talk about some other things this week, and that's what we're going to do. But we've been talking on this series about there is grace for your place, that everybody has a place in the kingdom of God. You know, there is a place, hey, can I tell you, there is a place for you here. There is a place for you here at the Difference Church. There is a place for you in the kingdom of God. Everybody's not going to be in pulpit ministry like I am. You know, but heck, what I do and what Heather does, we're just a very, very small portion of what God needs done. We come in and God's gifted and called me and Heather to encourage you. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So what you guys do in the marketplace and in your lives is far more than just this one little part that we play. But yet, and an interesting, everybody, I've ran into people, man, I just want to be the preacher. I want to be the pastor. And I, after about, you know, whatever many years, 30 years we've been in it, I'm like, you sure? You sure about that? it's not all glam and glitter like you may think. Oh, you get to be in front of everybody. It's a very small part of what I do. And I would much rather be doing just this than a lot of the other stuff that we have to do. But anyway, God has gifted all of us. He's called all of us and gifted and wired all of us to serve him in some capacity. And just because you're not maybe in a teaching capacity doesn't make your capacity any less important. Right. As we read in the scripture, there are many parts in the body and none without significance. Not every single part, the ones that are seen, right, the ones that are inside and not seen, but if it wasn't for the ones that are not seen, these wouldn't be working, right? So every part is very important. And but let's Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 is what I'm going to look at, start out with today. And it said this. Let's just do verse 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him, right? We can call a lot of things worship, but if we're not really giving of ourselves to him and yielding ourselves to what he's called and wired us to do, then we're not truly worshiping him, because it says right here that to do that, to be a living and a holy sacrifice is the kind that he finds acceptable, and this is truly the way to worship him. And then we went into verse 2 where it says, don't copy. Well, because we answered the question, well, how do I be that living and holy sacrifice? Well, then we went on into verse 2 where it says, don't copy the behaviors, the thinking patterns, the ways of this world, right? Don't copy those patterns of the world, but be transformed by learning to think the way God thinks, right? And so we talked about that, and you can go back and listen to that. It's online. It's on our website, and you can go and listen to that message again to see what all I said about that. But we can be transformed by renewing. He can transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. That's what we're talking about, right? Knowing God's will for you. Well, you're not going to be able to know his will if you don't go through allowing God to transform your way of thinking. Because the way you think determines how you see. See, we say around here often, we need to learn to think the way God thinks so we can see the way God sees things. Then we'll be able to do the things that God does. That's what we really want, right? We want to say, hey, God, let's hook up as partners and get this baby going, right? All right. So, let's move on. I told you last week that we would start talking about the two keys to finding your place. And so I'm going to talk about the first key today, at least. We'll see if I get to the second key. I'll try. But there's always next week. Amen. You're going to come back next week? Yeah. I hope you'll be here. By the way, bring a friend. Bring a friend, right? We don't want to have to call them. We don't want you to have to call a friend. We want you to bring a friend. Right? Amen. All right. So let's go to Matthew chapter 22. I want you to see this. The first key that we're going to talk about is the call. The call. We've all, you know, God puts a call on your life. Now, and so often, you know, it's really unfortunate, but so often when you start talking about, you know, I'm called by God, a lot of people resonate that statement to ministers. You know, oh, well, they're called into ministry. Well, he didn't say all are called into ministry. He just said they're called, right? So let's look at that verse. Amen. All right, so in Matthew chapter 22, how many are excited about finding that thing that God wired you for and getting activated in it? Hey, man, that's when you're going to, that's, man, you're talking about, you know, enjoying life. That's when you're enjoying life. Many people, they've tried to do all the things that they wanted to do. Their own carnal nature decided, I want to do this, I want to be that. And then we talked about it. They made millions of dollars. They got all the boats, the cars, the houses, the women, the men that they want, they think that they want. They got this life that they thought they were after, but yet then they're going out and they're committing suicide. Why? Because they're not happy. So obviously the happiness is not in the money, the cars, the women, the toys, all that, and the men and the things like that. Maybe they're looking for love in all the wrong places. Right? Maybe they're looking for fulfillment in the wrong place. When you're created by God, you can only find fulfillment in God. I mean, I'm not saying that. Obviously, we see people that are lost and they're living in sin and they're living for the enemy and not living for God. You know, there's only two. You know, it's either you're living for God or you're not. And if you're not, then you're living for the enemy. By default, you may not chose to live for Satan, but if you're not living for God, then you are by default. I mean, there's only two choices. There's only a heaven and a hell, right? There's only God and the devil, and then there's you. And then, but we have to make a choice, right? But he says here in Matthew chapter 22, let's look at this, in verse 22:14. Did I not highlight that? Oh, there it is. Okay. It says, for many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen, right? So God puts a call on a person's life, but God does not make that person walk in that call, right? Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, why would God call many but only choose a few? Well, he chooses the few that show up. If I'm throwing a party, right, and we're having a big event here or whatever, or I'm at my house, and we're like, hey, let's have some people over, and I send out lots of invitations, you've been called. You were called to the party, but then only five people showed up. Well, you're the one that are chosen to enjoy the party, right? So it's not that God calls a lot but only picks a few. No, he picks the ones that decided, yeah, I want more of him. He picks the ones that said, yeah, I want to be used by him. He picks the ones that says, yes, Lord, I know that you've wired me to do something. I know that you've gifted me to do something for your kingdom. How many know when God wires you to do something, he wires it to be done for his kingdom? It doesn't have to be ministry like this. It can be owning a gas station. I mean, I've heard story after story about Cindy over there at the gas station in Jefferson, right? And man, people come through there and she's talking to them about Jesus and has these God encounters. Brent has told me of stories when he's on a plumbing trip, you know, and he's talking. He didn't even realize, he thought he was there to do plumbing. Then he ended up doing a little ministry. But he made himself available. He's called to be a plumber. Called to be a plumber. But he's called to be a sanctified plumber. He's called to be a plumber for the kingdom of God. And that does not mean that he can only work and do plumbing for churches and ministries. I didn't say he was called to be a plumber for the Difference Church or for the churches in Albany. No, I said he was called to do plumbing for the kingdom of God. That means that wherever he goes, he's always open to be led by the Spirit of God to minister if that's what is necessary, if that's what God wants in that moment. God, they may think, man, I just need somebody to stop my toilet from overflowing. And Prince's like, okay, I can help you with that. And then while he's there, something happens. They'll say something, he'll say something, it triggers something, and then now he's actually sharing the gospel or ministering, speaking words of life to people. Do you see how that? I mean, so it's not that everybody has to be in what we call ministry. It's, man, he didn't say that many will be chosen to serve in ministry. It says they're called for the kingdom of God. They're called for the kingdom of God. And that affects every believer in every realm, in every sphere of work. I mean, it covers everything. But he says, many are called, but few are chosen. The ones that were chosen was the ones that said, I'm showing up, God. Here I am. Remember what Isaiah said? He says, here I am, send me. God, I'll go. I'll say it, I'll do it. Whatever you want done, God, I will do it. Amen? Hallelujah. And in churches, there are areas in churches that I am firmly convinced. Now, bear with me here. I love you. Listen to me. I am firmly convinced that every person in every church is called to serve somewhere in that church. Amen. Still love me? I believe that. I believe that whatever role maybe it's helping in the parking lot, or it's helping in the nursery, or maybe it's helping vacuum the carpets, or it's whatever that is. I mean, everyone should be involved doing something. Now, that's not what this message series is about. It's about helping you find what God wired you to do, but he also wants his church to be successful as well. And what does that mean? That means we're doing the things that's necessary. We're coming together as a family, working together to win more people to Jesus, to help them to grow. When they do come in, we're getting them mentored. We're meeting with them. We're maybe teaching a class or helping with a class or doing this or doing that. Whatever it is, anything in any way we can, we want to use every medium, whatever we can, to be a blessing to people and help them to grow in God. Amen? Excuse me, sorry about that. We can delete that maybe later, maybe not. But anyway, but he says, many are called, but few are chosen. And the ones that he chooses, the ones that shows up. Okay, let's go go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to quote this next verse to you. But I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But over in Psalm 42:7 in the New King James, it says, deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. God's deep is calling to your deep. It's kind of like the salmon, you know? When it's time, how do they know what time of the year it is to go swimming back up the river? How do they know, how many have ever heard of a salmon getting to the bottom of a waterfall going, whoop, roadblock. I got to the bottom of a waterfall, I'd be like, I ain't going up that. But they don't let it stop them, man. They're flipping and flopping all the way up the waterfall. Why? Because there's God created them and wired them to do that. How does a goose know when to fly south for the winter? How do birds know when to fly from, you know, South Dakota to Central America? How does animals know? How do they know to do that? They don't have a GPS system. I don't think when the salmon are swimming up the river, they're like, oh my goodness, I don't even really know where I'm going. Let's just pull over here. Let's just come over here. I'm going to sit on this rock just up under the surface of the water, and I'm going to reach into my gills, and I'm going to pull out a map. Hang on, let me pull out my cell phone. See, pull out my GPS and see where is this place I'm supposed to be going. No, they just know. Come on, if God can build a fish to know when to go and where to go, can we? We've got the Spirit of God. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They're fish. We eat them. Well, other people eat them. I don't eat them. My wife loves them. My son loves them. And I ate very little bit here and there. But how do the birds know? They don't have a GPS. There's a deep. It's calling them. There's a knowing in the side. It's time to get out of town. It's time to start flying south. Right? They just know. Well, if a fish knows how to do that and a bird knows how to do that, and animals, I mean, it's crazy. We've heard and heard the stories about how when volcanoes and earthquakes are starting to happen, the animals know it. They know, uh-oh, something's wrong. Time to get out of here. Time to go find some safe ground somewhere. They just know. They don't have the Spirit of God in them. But we do. We can know. We can. Did you know that the Bible says God is not a God of confusion? We don't have to be confused about what we're wired to do. We don't have to be confused about whether we're on our way to heaven or not. Blows my mind. Well, I mean, I think so, but I'm not sure. But hopefully when that day comes, my name will be on the roll. Come on. I don't want to live life like that. I'm glad that I don't have to live my life like that. I'm glad that I can wake up every day knowing my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, we know that's the case because Jesus, remember when he sent his disciples out? And he says, behold, all authority, I've given you power over all the authority over all the power of the enemy, that nothing shall by enemies hurt you. And they're like, he sends them out, and they're coming back rejoicing about demons, being able to cast demons out. And he says, rejoice not that demons are subject to your name, but rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. So I can know, man. I wake up every day knowing I am in, glory to God. I am in the kingdom of God, and when he decides to rapture us out of here, I'm going in the first load. I don't know if there's a second load, but I'm going in the first one. Amen. We can know. So God is not a God of confusion. We can know some things. In spite of what religion has tried to teach us, and in spite of what humanism has tried to teach us and people have tried to say, well, you just never know. No, I know. I can know. All right, let's look at this, and we'll find out how we know. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I love this passage, man. This is one of my favorites, probably one of my most highlighted, marked up, underlined, scribbled on parts of my Bible. I just absolutely love this passage. But he says here in verse 9, he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And a lot of people stop right there and go, see, you just never know. Well, you just never know what God's going to do. Well, I do know that you stopped reading. Because if you had not stopped reading, you would have read in the next verse that we can know. Right? He says here, listen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those that love him. But, how many know there are some good buts? All right? He says, but it was to us. Who? Us. Say, that's me. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you too. Okay, all right. Listen, you need to point somewhere over there because you have nobody next to you. All right, so here we go. But it was to us that God revealed. Revealed. Not going to reveal. When you put an ED on the end of reveal, it makes it past tense. Right? I'm not an English scholar by any stretch of the imagination. I had to take a half a credit after I graduated just to go back and get my diploma. So, I mean, but he says right here, he says, but it was to us that God revealed or has revealed these things to us by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Right? No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Well, then how do we come to know God's thoughts? If we can only know them by his spirit, and only his spirit knows his thoughts, how do we come to know that? By giving our life to Christ, allowing his spirit to come and live on the inside of us. And here's a booster for you. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's a Bible thing. It's a thing. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is a thing. It is a thing that Jesus said. He said, I'm going to leave it. I'm going to send someone to not just walk with you, but to dwell in you. and it's going to empower you. What did it say in Acts 1:8? He says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What was he talking about? He knew the day of Pentecost was about to happen. And here a few days, he says, stay right here. Stay right here. Don't leave without it. Don't leave home without it. Forget your American Express card, but don't leave home without the Holy Spirit. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem until you receive him. It's not a thing. He's a person. Receive him, and he will empower you. And we talked about a while ago, I was sharing this, you know, how the Bible tells us that we are infused with inner strength by the Holy Spirit. So it's so important. So if you've never been open to that, I would implore you to crack the can open and be open to hear about that. Because, man, there is nothing like being filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, I mean, there are so many benefits to being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in your prayer language, as we call it. It's just absolutely amazing. Amen. All right, but he says here, but here's what I want you to see. He says, it is revealed to us by his Spirit. In other words, you can know. You can know. You can know what your calling is. You can know what your gifting is. You can know what God wired you to do. And you can not only know it, but you can actually activate it. Yeah? Yeah? We can actually be activated to do the very thing that God wired us to do. And it will bring, you don't know fulfillment until you're walking in the plan of God for your life. Amen? Glory to God. But too often, I think we're shooting for money. We're shooting for this, and we're shooting. And hey, I'll be the first one to tell you, I ain't got no problem with you making money. Make money. Praise God. Money's good. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say nothing about money, because over in the Garden of Eden, he says there is gold there, and the gold is good. God never called gold bad. He never called provision bad. He never called prosperity bad. You know, but you got to have prosperity with a purpose. God don't pour it on you so you can indulge in your flesh. He pours it on you because he feels like he can trust you to use it for the kingdom purposes. But here's the beautiful thing about it is when water is flowing through the pipe, it ain't only the people at the end of the pipe getting the water, but the pipe itself is getting wet. So you get to be blessed in the middle of it, but be that pipe. Don't put a cap on it and say, oh, God's blessing me. I'm capping this and I'm keeping this for myself. I assure you the supply will be cut off. Because God is not into selfishness. He's not into hoarders. Right? What God's into is vessels. Someone that will allow him to bless them financially or whatever area. But you're gonna pull the cap off that, and you're gonna allow that to flow out to others as well. Why? Because the Bible told it. He said it through Abraham, didn't he? He said, "I'm blessing you to be a blessing." Amen. Glory to God. Let's look at one more verse, and I will not get to the second one today. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I close with this. All right, 1 Thessalonians. Right? But there is a call. There is, God has called us. He has wired us to do something for him, for his kingdom. And we need to be open to that and say, God, what is it you've shown me? And he will show you. And we'll talk about it next week. I'll go ahead and tell you here in a minute what it is. And then we'll just kind of talk a little bit about it next week. But over here in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 23, he says this. Now may the God of peace, see there it is again. I mean, God is not a God of confusion, he's a God of peace. So if you're feeling like you're confused about what you're supposed to be doing, that's not God. But if you will continue to stay focused on him, you will notice that there will be a peace about what he has called you to do. Now, and I mean, hey, you know, if you do start to go in a wrong direction, it's not the end of the world. You're not going to fall off the edge of the earth. Right, or anything like that. You're not going to, you know, sink and drown. You know, if you go the wrong direction, God will just gently nudge you because, no, I call it the bumper anointing. Right, you know, when you're doing bumper cars and you get too close to the edge and you hit the bumper, or when you're bowling. Anybody use bumpers when they're bowling? Ain't nobody in this room going to admit that. Ain't nobody going to admit it. Okay, we got one honest person. Okay. Right? But you go bowling and you don't want gutter balls. Right? So you ask for the bumpers to be put up. So they put the bumpers up, and the bumpers, it hits the bumper and bumps it back over into the lane, over to the other bumper, and then it bumps. And then it's, some people's ball goes boing, 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 until it finally hits some pins. But hey, praise God, you hit some pins. That's the whole idea. So God has this bumper anointing. You start to get off. Nope. Right? And so if you just trust him, it's okay if we... The idea is God wants you moving. He wants you doing. God is a God of a group of people that are doing. He's drawn to movement. It's like the steering wheel. You know, I've used this illustration in the past. You know, you're sitting in your car and you're like, man, I want to go somewhere. So you get out there and you crank your car and you sit there and you spin the wheel this way. Then you spin it that way and it's not moving. So you spin the wheel back this way and you spin the wheel back that way and it's still not going. Still the same scenery. You haven't gone anywhere. You're rubbing a hole in the bottom of your tire. What's the problem? What's missing? Movement. Movement. Put that thing in gear. Give it a little bit of acceleration. Not a lot if you're backing out of a driveway. Right? A few driving tips today. Right? But give it some movement. Give it some momentum. Build that momentum and get that car to moving. Now when you turn that steering wheel, now you're changing scenery. Right? You're going somewhere. You're getting somewhere because there's movement. God just wants you to begin to move. He wants you to begin to, you say, well, how can I do it? Well, volunteer for an area to serve here. You'll get in there and you may find out first pick. Whoa, I never knew this would be so amazing. That is awesome. I'm so glad that I signed up for this. Or you may get in there and you go, ooh, it's been a couple of weeks and it ain't getting any better. Then you come to us and we'll go, hey, that's no problem. Let's go move somewhere else. Move you to somewhere else. So we put you in another area, and you're like, you're like, oh, that's not working out for me either. And then we move you to another area, and that's not working out. After three or four areas, you know what the problem is? You. Right? So come on. Maybe you need to make a heart adjustment, you know, and quit having these fantasy ideas of how you think ministry is going to be, because it is definitely work. But hey, you know, get involved. Do what you can do. And here's the beautiful thing about it. As you do that, then God now has something to direct. He has something to direct, and he helps you to get to what it is and where he is he wants you to be. Amen? Isn't that good? But look at this verse. Did we already read it yet? It says, oh, yeah, I know. I got to the first part of it. Okay, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. Who do you think's doing the keeping? God's doing the keeping. He's just looking for you to go and looking for you to do. The Bible says be a doer. Over in James, it says be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, tricking and deceiving yourself. Come on, we got to be doers, right? And then God will keep you as you go. Now watch this. He's in verse 24, God will make this happen God will make this happen for he who calls. Give me a C. Okay. He who calls is faithful. He who calls you is faithful. So there is a call, and God's deep is calling to your deep. I didn't say it, he's going to. I'm telling you right now, God's deep is calling to your deep. If you will spend time with him, you will be able to hear more clearly and those nudgings, those promptings. And we'll talk, let me tell you, the second one, we'll talk more about it next week. But the second one is desire. Desire. So your desire has something to do it. But watch, listen to me, your sanctified desire. Not carnal desire. Not I saw somebody else doing that. That looked pretty cool, so I'm going to do it. No, they're not the one that's calling you. God's calling you. We want to hear what God's calling us to do, and he will match up that call with the desire in your heart. Right? And we'll talk more about the desire next week. Amen? Everybody get anything out of this today? Yeah. Glory to God. Stand up on your feet. I'm done.